the Day of Atonement, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 34. Just one thought, preparation and proceeding. It was a day set aside by God that the nation rest from their labor and sanctify themselves. The high priest shall represent himself, his family, and the nation to enter into the Holy of Holies to offer incense. H.T. Spence said well. He says, "This is the Good Friday of the Old Testament." You remember the day when our Lord Jesus was crucified. It was 9 a.m. in the morning when he was crucified, and it was 3 p.m. in the afternoon when he gave up the ghost, when he said, "It is finished." And in between, at 12 noon, when the sun was to be overhead, suddenly there was a darkness that enveloped the entire place. The Lord upon the cross, he was taking upon him the sins of the world. And Isaiah 53 is a good description of that atonement. And the Day of Atonement is a description of that one ultimate day when Christ himself shall be the sacrifice. God himself had to make that atonement through his Son for the sins of men. You see, we started studying the book of Genesis last Lord's Day, speaking about the origin. And starting from the beginning, we learn how intimate a relationship man has with God. Man is made in the image of God. We are in the closest proximity, likeness to the Godhead, because we are made in the image of God. And therefore, when we depart from him, you know, out of all the trees that God made in the Garden of Eden, you know how many trees there are in the Garden of Eden? Well, it's, you may say, almost countless. The Lord said, "Only one tree, don't eat of it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it, because when you eat of it, you will surely die." But what did Adam and Eve do? They were enticed. How they took of the tree, and how man was separated by God. Immediately after Adam and Eve sinned against God, he felt himself naked. He felt himself fearful. Sin has that stranglehold and bondage upon the soul. And it is so sad, isn't it? So when man fell, it was a greatest tragedy. If you look at the paradise that God made, how beautiful it is. You go to a garden, the most well-kept garden that you can find in this world today, and you enjoy the garden, and you look at all the things that is around you, the birds chirping, the green trees around you, surrounding you, and how fresh the air, how wonderful the lush of the entire place. And the Lord provided herbs, herb trees. The Lord provided fruit trees for meat for Adam and Eve. What a paradise God made for men. But when men fell, the way by which men can be atoned for was through the Son of God. God himself has to be made flesh, and God Himself has to bear the iniquity of man's sin. And this is what God wanted to impress upon us. The price, the heavy price that was needed to bring us back to God. You know, the separation because of our sin, and the price that has to be paid so that we can be reconciled to God again through His only begotten Son. And this knowledge of reconciliation with God through the blood of Christ was prescribed or described to us in those early days, right, in visual, by visual aid, through the nation of Israel. God made this nation, and God created and spoke concerning the making of the tabernacle for the sacrifice of the sins of the nation, in order to enact a picture for all the nations of the world to see. This is the way by which man can be reconciled to the living God. And this is what we are studying here, right? Spence said, well, the Good Friday of the Old Testament. And he shall, verse 33 says, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest, and for all the people of the congregation. Now, when our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified upon earth, he was to take make atonement for all the sins of all mankind. He was to bear that great burden, that great punishment for sin that we ourselves cannot bear. Even we die a million times over, we cannot bear to take away our own sins. But the Lord provided this. And it was in the wake of the death of two of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire unto the Lord. So the Lord wants us to approach Him to find atonement through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way. There's no other way by which man can be saved. Man cannot be saved. Man cannot find hope by doing good works. Right? There are those who teach that if you do good works, then you would be able to accumulate for yourself tokens of good, so that in your next life, right, you would become a better being. And with time, you would become the best. Well, then it gives hope to a man, isn't it? If you were to do something good, then you would have the hope that your next life will be a better life. Well, it is a good way to motivate men, right? But it is not the way, the correct way, the way of God, by which men's sins can be atoned for. Right? You cannot hope, right, by your doing good to make right for all the wrongs that comes to you. And God presents for us this picture, right, through the sacrifice of the tabernacle, in order for us to see that you can't approach God the way you want. God has to be approached on His terms. And so Moses said to the children of Israel in verse 34, "And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year." And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. And when will this be? "And this statute," verse 29 says, "shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth unto you." So it was a day when they would take time to be with the Lord, take time to confess their sins. Right? Remember when we read the text, it says that the high priest will have to confess, when he holds the goat, the sins, the live goat, the sins of the nations. Well, what are the sins of the nations? How is the high priest going to be able to articulate the sins of the nations? Well, the high priest must have known, right, how, where, in what point did the nation fell, and seek the Lord's forgiveness. And for us too, do we know where we have fallen? Well, there are those things that we have fallen, we know, we confess it before the Lord. But there are those things that we don't know, and we ask God to reveal to us. Well, those things that we may have done without intention, well, we ask God also for forgiveness, right? In our rashness, in our in our ignorance, perhaps, well, we ask God for forgiveness. It was a day when we take time to search our souls, we take time to seek the Lord, and to know that our sins has been forgiven. Right? The picture of the two goats, one killed and the other let loose, was a picture of the process by which atonement was made for sins. And so here is given the description how what Aaron must do. He takes a young bullock for a sin offering for himself, and he takes a ram for a burnt offering for himself. Right? And there was a time of preparation. Right? He's supposed to put on his holy linen garment, verse 4 tells us, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his body, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle and a mitre. And these are the garments that he would put on. And it's interesting that this wearing of his garment was not the entire garment that he was to put on. Right? The ephod is not there. Okay, he did not put on all the golden or all the stones, right, that he girded for his glory. Right, that was not put on the Day of Atonement. The young bullock and the ram are for Aaron personally, and he must make atonement for himself personally. Afterwards, he will proceed, right, and Aaron himself shall take two goats of the congregation. Verse 5 says, "And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer this his bullock of the sin offering," verse 6 says, "which is for himself, and to make an atonement for himself and for his house." Now, it's very interesting that the high priest sought the Lord, right, that he makes atonement for himself
and then for his house, before he would do so for the nation. Verse 7 says, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the congregation. And this was the second part of the process. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. So for himself first, right? And then for his household, and then for the nation. One for the Lord, and the other for the scapegoat. Now, what is the scapegoat? The scapegoat is described as a goat that is sent away, or a goat literally means for going away. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord he fell, and offer him for a sin offering. So verse 9 and 10 is a description of this. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, verse 8 says, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall put the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But verse 10 says, the goat on which the lot fell to the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And that's at verse 10, right? And Aaron shall bring the scapegoat and present him alive before the Lord to make an atonement with the scapegoat. He shall then take the scapegoat and let him go into the wilderness. The goat that was killed for the sin offering is for the people, and the blood is brought within the veil and into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat, as Aaron did with the bullock for himself. So this was done only once a year, right? Only once a year will the high priest enter into the most holy place, and he shall take the blood of the scapegoat. And you notice that the word atonement is used with a description in connection with the two goats, verse 10 and verse 16. Verse 10 says, But the goat on which the Lord fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Verse 10 and verse 16, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remain among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So while the high priest was engaged in the most holy place, the other priests were not allowed to remain in the tabernacle. That's in verse 17. Verse 17 says, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and make an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And so after Aaron had finished the work in the Holy of Holies, he would come out into the sanctuary or the holy place, and the altar of burnt offering upon it is sprinkled seven times with the blood of the bullock and the goat. Verse 18 is this description. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and shall cleanse it and hallow it for the uncleanness of the children of Israel. This was how the Lord deemed that atonement can be made through the blood, the blood that is spilled and sprinkled upon the altar. And this was the first part, the first goat. Then the other goat, having presented the live goat, the scapegoat, it was now brought forward to the high priest.
Right?
So the scapegoat, what to do? One already killed, the blood sprinkled, and the other, right, the live goat, what the high priest was brought before the high priest, who placing hands upon its head and having confessed over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, transferred them by this act to the goat as their substitute. So this was how the atonement was made, right? It's a description of what Christ would do, right? Our sins confessed and placed upon him, and he was to take all our transgressions. And so, having confessed over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, transferred them by this act to the goat as their substitute. And it's given here in verse 20 to 21. So in the atonement act, when we confess our sins, all right, the sins that we that is upon us is transferred, right? So the goat becomes our substitute. All right, our substitute. It means that our sins are taken upon by the substitute. Okay, this is a description of the atonement, verse 20 to 21. And when he had made an end of the reconciling of the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, right? So, and then confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, and put them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So the goat, having placed his hands over the head of the goat and confessed the sins, then the goat is released to the wilderness. Okay, this is the process, and the Lord wants us to understand this process of substitution. Right, the two goats represent one event, one act, one sacrifice, one atonement. They must not be separated in our minds, although they are separated here, right, in this description of the atonement made through the two goats, one to die and one to, by which, right, the sins are confessed over it and it is released. Right. They were taken together. They were represented to the Lord at the door of the tabernacle together. Both goats represent the one atonement, and both goats represent that one atonement together. Right? And both goats represent truly the one Jesus Christ in the act of atonement, right, forward-looking to the day when the Lord himself shall die. He would be, and it will be enacted. The Lord himself, the Son of God, will have to take our sins, and the goats that went away into the wilderness. Right. And the Lord wants us to see, and the Lord wants us to know, that indeed the Lord has, through this process, make atonement for sins. And how can we see clearly that this portrayal of sins forgiven is pointing to Christ? Well, if we were to look at Isaiah 52 to 53, you would be able to see, right, how our Lord, it was a picture of how our Lord himself will take our sins. Isaiah 52 verse 13 to 14 says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so mild, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." So the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. all we like sheep, Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So he was to be the sacrifice. And Isaiah 53 verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, verse 11 of Isaiah 53 says, and shall be satisfied, and his knowledge shall my right by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So this is a description, right, of that substitute, how Christ were to bear our sins. And so this description for us shows how that the atonement was made on that day. Okay, and verse 23 to 27 described for us, and I look from Spence, he says, four unusual things that concluded the offering of the day. First, the change of garments. Second, the fat of the sin offering was burned upon the altar. The feet man who had led the scapegoat away into the wilderness was to return and wash his clothes, bathe his flesh, and come back into the camp. And finally, the bullock for the sin offering, the highest kind of sin offering, was taken without the camp, and his blood made atonement. It was this highest kind of sin offering that spoke clearly of the completion of the blessings of the day, that final burning of the bullock and the final administration of the blood effected the conclusion of the day of atonement. The sins of all the people, Spence says, were rolled 1 year nearer to the cross of Christ, and the sanctification of the individual was made clearer through the work of the sin offering. For us, we remember, right, Good Friday. Good Friday, we remember the day of our Lord's crucifixion, right? How he was to make atonement for our sins once and for all. And it was a description, it is a day by which we remember what our Lord had done for us, right? And you know, it began on the Lord's day, when our Lord himself shall enter, right, Jerusalem on a donkey, you remember? So everyone was shouting, Hosanna to the highest! Hail the King of the Jews! And then by Thursday, Wednesday, they began to shout, Crucify him! Crucify him! And by Thursday, he was put on trial. And by Friday morning, they hurled him across the street, and bearing his cross, he was placed upon the cross, nailed, and then he was to be crucified. This is a description of man and his wickedness. And yet our Lord did not flinch, you know, to go the way of the cross. He knew, right, that he has to go through. So from Gethsemane, right, when he sweat the sweat of blood as he prayed that the Lord would grant him the grace, the strength to be able to endure the way of the cross. It was a
a difficult journey, because he would face, right, the mocking of the entire nation. He would be rejected, and he would have to be crucified like a criminal, go through the most injustice, you may say. But it was to right all wrong. God himself had to do that for us. And as we think about it, as we think about what God had done for us, right, we think, how could God do that? How is it possible, right, for us? We feel so upset, so angry, so bitter, in a sense that what are they doing? You know, the Lord had done all this good to them, right? He did all the miracles to heal them. He did all, right, to deliver them. And yet, there was a group that will not follow, that will not walk with him. Wow. And yet the Lord said that he went to the cross so that there will be a way out, still a way out. And we thank the Lord that he provided that way out for us. Anyone who would come to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a way out. And it's so wonderful, isn't it? And we mustn't feel discouraged. If you preach the gospel, you share with someone, right, and you know you are rejected. You are rejected. Our Lord himself was rejected. They are not rejecting you. They are rejecting the Lord. The onus is upon them. Right? You have tried your part to help, and now it's up to them to receive it. It's up to them to appropriate it for themselves. And so this is the happy work of sharing the gospel, right? The Lord laid upon us to do so. You may face many rejection. Don't be discouraged. Continue. Continue. Because you never know how the Lord can use you to make a difference. Right? The Lord allows us to have life, strength. For what reason? Why is it that the Lord is keeping us alive? Because we carry the life of God in us. We carry the message of salvation with us. You see? And this is the only thing that we have that distinguishes us from the world. And this is what it is that God wants us to do for him. That we be a witness for him. You see? And so let us not be entangled with the world, entangled with the fallen self. Let us not yield to the lure of the evil one. But may the Lord grant us his grace to be his good witness. Having our sins forgiven, we should be ought to be the happiest people in the world, right? Going to heaven, God will make a new body for us. No loss, only rewards to claim. Do your part, do your best for him. This new year that he has given us, this new decade that he has given us, you know,
We don't know how much life we have, how much time we have. But whatever we have, let us give it to Him. And let us enjoy Him and share Him with the people around us. May the Lord help us.
Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace, Thy strength, Thy mercy in our lives. O God, help us to, having been partakers of Thy blessing, may Thou help us to be a sharer of Thy blessings. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.